So one of the words at intercession this morning was that the Lord wants to come and give sight. And I want to read a scripture from Ephesians. Paul prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. So, Father, where we need eyes to see, spiritually and physically, Lord, I pray for us here in this moment, Lord, that Your light would shine. Lord Jesus, You said as we open our eyes to see, we will turn and be healed. And so I pray for spiritual eyes to see and physical eyes to see in this place, Lord, that we can turn and be healed. Healed from that which we have built upon, maybe, and that which we are pursuing, Lord, that we would be healed from our own pursuits, and we would be drawn to follow You. And Lord, I pray for this word this morning, that it would be in line with what You've already been speaking, that You have been showing us that You are the well, You are the one, You are the source of life, that we can come and drink freely, receive healing, receive life, and receive purpose. Not just for ourselves, but for those around us, that we can freely receive and freely give. Above all, let Your name be glorified in our midst this day and tomorrow and the day after and eternally. Amen. Amen. Where are we? Daily Bread Part 2. I didn't get to finish this last week, and we'll see if we finish it this week. Just want to get something open here. So just a quick note, if you want to get baptized, I feel like always there's a responsibility. You know, it isn't a free-for-all. I want to invite you, come have a conversation with me. Come have a conversation with me, because I want to make sure you have an understanding of what it means to get baptized. Okay? So there is an opportunity next week. This is still a week with days in it. You can contact me if you wanna get baptized, come speak to me, and we'll talk you through it, just so that you also have an understanding. Here we are in Matthew chapter 6, still in the Lord's Prayer. Still in the Lord's Prayer, and we're actually still in verse 11 today. So if you were here last week, you will recall I was looking at what does it mean to say give us this day our daily bread, and how that has it's an invitation for what we may need. It is an invitation for our needs. God is concerned. He is involved in our lives, and what we need, He is busy with and interested in. But then there is this balance of what is it that you need and what is it that you want, and this pursuit of the world, that we must put everything in the context of what is God providing for us. Where are we? We're in this wilderness journey. We're not in the promised land, okay? We're in a wilderness journey. We're on our way. And so in this moment, there is bread for us, but your bread may be also your neighbor's bread. And we were looking at that last week. So I want to invite you, if you didn't hear the first part, maybe go and listen to that sermon, because that was dealing with God's invitation to us to really bring our needs to Him, but how we have a conversation around that, right? But then there's also another implication, and they both are true. The daily bread is not just about our needs and this conversation about what the Lord provides us and asks us to steward. It is also obviously something very specific about Jesus Christ, okay? And we're going to look today more about at that side of it again. So I want to jump in. You know, if we were looking at the Lord's Prayer, if we're looking at what we are taught how to pray, our Father in heaven, this relationship, this adoption that we experience in Christ Jesus, and we say, hallowed be your name, we have this purpose, your kingdom come, what is the kingdom now and what is the kingdom not yet, and let us distinguish the two clearly. Right, we looked at that, and then your will be done, which for me is that pursuit of righteousness and walking with one another in that pursuit of righteousness. But then we get to this place, right? This place that we are quite familiar with in the West. And I want to read you something that someone said a while ago. I'll tell you afterwards who it was. And this was what he wrestled with when he sees the church responding to the gospel. He said, I fear wherever riches have increased, the essence of religion has decreased in the same proportion. Therefore, I do not see how it is possible in the nature of things for any renewal of true religion to continue long. For religion must necessarily produce both industry and frugality, and these cannot but produce riches. And here's his trouble. But as riches increase, so will pride, anger, and the love of the world in all its branches. This was a man who was an instrument in God's hand for revival, a preaching of the gospel that brought people back into this pursuit of not just imputed righteousness, but imparted righteousness, a living out of what God has given us freely in Christ Jesus. And he was troubled that wherever he ministered, the outcome would be that people would have this pursuit, this change. There would be real repentance. They would change from being drunkards and whoremongers, and they would come and follow Jesus, and then in this, your will be done and righteousness, and they make better decisions, better life decisions, and an outflow of better life decisions is wealth. It's not the pursuit. And he was troubled that as he ministered and people responded to the gospel and they have this reality, then they are distracted by the byproduct. This man's name was John Wesley. And I was reading this and I felt the Holy Spirit. I felt the Holy Spirit say, but if we stick to what the Lord means in daily bread, we have a medicine. Well, we shouldn't talk about vaccines from the pulpit anymore, but we have an immunity given to us. We have something given to us to help us calibrate, to help us correct, that this byproduct of the gospel, there is an outflow from righteous living. But this byproduct of the gospel is not to become our focus. Because with that focus comes this trouble. And this is what troubled John Wesley. He didn't stop his ministry. He was just pleading, why is this taking place? I believe if we have an understanding of give us this day our daily bread, it gives us a healthy correction, a healthy calibration in this relationship with God, a healthy outflow for that which may be a consequence of righteousness in our lives, that we will have this distance between us and things. Your bread may be your brother's bread. Right? Your provision may be your brother's provision. We are in pursuit of a kingdom coming now that requires resources, and that the resources we're entrusted with would be stewarded according to his will. Right? And so we get to these two aspects of give us this day our daily bread. I want to read for us. We looked previously at the manna, right? I was looking at manna specifically, the bread in the wilderness that was their daily provision. I want to go back to Leviticus 24, read you something here about another daily bread connected between them, because I believe, I'm just making a deduction, that when Moses wrote this down in Leviticus, they didn't have grain to do this. They obviously used the manna to do this as well. So manna was both their provision and was also the way that they fulfilled this requirement in the tabernacle. But let's read in Leviticus 24. Leviticus 24, you shall take fine flour and bake 12 loaves from it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each loaf, and you shall set them in 2 piles, 6 in a pile on the table of pure gold before the Lord. This is within the tabernacle, before the veil. On the one side stands the lamp that gives light, and the other side is this golden table for the showbread. And you shall put pure frankincense on each pile, that it may go with the bread as a memorial portion, as a food offering to the Lord. Every Sabbath day Aaron shall arrange it before the Lord regularly. It is from the people of Israel as a covenant forever. And it shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place, since it is for him a most holy portion out of the Lord's food offerings, a perpetual due. So it's an interesting thing that's happening here. Firstly, if you read this, and you'll see, okay, so that this is to be done on the Sabbath. Okay, so the first thing that I see here, the only one baking on the Sabbath is the priest. Can you imagine? We're going through the wilderness every day, we are baking except on the Sabbath, and you smell bread, and you know there's no one else baking today. It's one bread baker happening busy today. It is the priest baking bread for the tabernacle, right? And with this, the Lord, and I was like, okay, Lord, I get it. Every Sabbath they're baking this. But if you read closely, it's placed before the Lord for until the next Sabbath. And then they only eat it. I'm like, I know what happens to bread in my cupboard, right, after a week. It's not going to be a blessing to eat it. This is a beautiful thing here. He says, you shall take fine flour. And there was actually a family who, in Jewish tradition, they did this baking because they understood how to make this bread that it actually lasted. And they used only the finest, best flour. And in fact, in their house, there was never any bread that would compare to the tabernacle bread. So that there would be no suspicion that they were using that which is for this purpose, right? So hulle het volgraan geëet en nie fyn nie. Right? But here, it lasts because it is made with this quality. It lasts all week. It's made with this quality. And the Lord says, place on top of it this frankincense. And the interesting thing is, he says, the frankincense is what gets burnt as the memorial portion. The bread doesn't get burnt. It is placed before the Lord as this covenant, as a sign of the covenant between God and Israel. Right? The bread isn't burnt. The frankincense is burnt and brings that pleasing aroma. But the priests, they are the ones who eat this bread. Okay? So this day, this bread is daily before the Lord in his tabernacle as a reminder of the covenant. It's just a beautiful picture of what's coming, right? The law is a shadow of things to come. And here we have a shadow of the one to come. We have a shadow of Jesus Christ being cast here in Leviticus. And you should put it, and then every Sabbath, it is from the people. It is something provided by the people from their resources, from their fine flour that Aaron bakes. And he places it in the tabernacle before the Lord as a sign of the covenant, the eternal covenant of God with man. And here he says, and then they shall eat it. Aaron and his sons, they shall eat it in a holy place. In other words, they shall focus, they shall consecrate, they shall not, this is not just for fun. This is not because you're hungry. It's because you need. And you're having this communion. It's an invitation to a table with the Lord, a communion table where you've prepared this bread and it's before me and it's good bread, it's fine flour, it doesn't go off. And they are invited as the priest to have this meal with the Lord from what has been displayed before him. and they shall eat it in a holy place, and it is a holy portion. It is a perpetual dew. It is a forever. And I find it interesting. Often there are things in the Old Testament talks about a perpetual, you know, the God's covenant with David. It's an eternal covenant, but it's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That's why it's perpetual. And so this is a perpetual dew. It is something that is eternally fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It continues this day. And so we see when in Matthew, where I believe when we look at Matthew in the beginning, when Jesus is born, and the wise men come, and what do they bring? They bring gold, they bring myrrh, but they bring frankincense. What does the frankincense represent? It's part of this message, part of this offering, part of this communion meal. Jesus is the bread that comes from heaven. And we place the frankincense, and that is what is offered and brings a sweet-smelling aroma, and we are invited by our high priest to partake. This is what we're going to see here in the scriptures. We are invited to partake of this covenant meal. And I want to jump ahead to the end of Matthew. In chapter 26. So with this in our back of our minds, this picture of in the tabernacle of this communion meal that represents the eternal covenant, this covenant that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, that is pointing to him. All these laws are pointing to him and his fulfillment of it. Right? And so at the end, or towards the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus sits down with his disciples. And here, and we read here in verse 26. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, in other words, after thanking God for it, it's just we eat what we eat, we pray before, and we thank God for it, for his provision. If we eat with a thankful heart, there's no harm in it. It's part of that consecration. And here, I think there's something on its way. I hear the baboons are being announced. I must make haste. And Jesus says here, after blessing and broke it, he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body. Take, eat, this is my body." It's a picture for me of what was happening for generations in the tabernacle. Aaron and his descendants, the high priest in the Levite priesthood, would take the showbread. The fresh bread has been baked and placed before the Lord as a reminder or a sign of the covenant. They would take, they would break, and they would eat among themselves. They'd have a communion meal with the Lord there at the tabernacle. And so Christ, in at the end of his ministry as the ultimate high priest, does something similar. He says, "Take, eat, this is my body. Take, eat, this is my body." He represents for us the best. He represents, he's on our behalf. He is the one who is the perfect baked bread, fine, with no imperfection. He's not going to go off, right? He's the one that is on our behalf, given to God. He is given on behalf of mankind to God as this offering, as a part of this covenant. And he takes his body and he breaks his body on the cross. "Take, eat, this is my body." This is what Jesus invites us to. He invites every one of us. He is the high priest, and if we have put our trust in him, we are adopted as sons and daughters, and we are a kingdom of priests that are to receive from him daily this bread. For me, it is something that for a few years I've been doing every morning, just before I have quiet time, before I even spend time in the Word, I'm having a moment which I call communion, which is what our daily lives should look like, is communion with God. But I'm having a moment to remind myself, of the body and the blood. I'm reminding myself of the body that is the one that was able to live the way I cannot live and was broken how I should be broken. Was raised for our sake. Because he was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. And every day, I believe that each one of us, before we start to get distracted by the byproduct of righteousness, we should be reminded in communion with God, what is it that we are a part of? Where are we in life? Oh, it is the daily bread that we need. It is his daily provision right now for this day that we are so dependent on. It it creates a little distance between me and what may follow from righteousness being lived out, right? And makes me, once again, dependent, makes me go, okay, this is what I need. And what is it referred to here? I want to take us to a scripture in Colossians. I was really wrestling this week, like, Lord, okay, there's so many implications for this. There's so many implications when we look at this body and we receive this bread. And what does it mean? I think we should start at the start. It means many other things that follow. But if we don't start at justification, if we don't start at receiving his righteousness, then what follows in sanctification is dead work. Right? If we don't start with, Lord, I receive from you daily what you already paid for, and I am dependent on the life that you lived and the body that was broken for me and raised that I can partake of, then we shouldn't move from that place until we have that understanding. And then we shouldn't get involved in, Lord, here I need to do this and this and this, and I need to be in my list of things that I want to improve on. Let me put it this way, as Paul writes in Colossians. It says, and you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. Paul comes to remind us here who we were. We know. We were those who were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. We are the ones that he has reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. The bread of heaven was broken on earth for us. Right? His body on the cross displayed. And what did that bring? It brings for us to present us holy and blameless and above reproach before him, before the Father. When I take communion every morning, I'm reminded that in Christ, I have confidence to stand before the Father. There's a baboon. Okay, that's going to be interesting. Hello. Man. We're just having a good time. Yeah, it's come for coffee. Yeah, I don't think he got anything. Anyway. It's a good morning. Yeah. Anyway, I think they're on their way to the children's church. That's fine. But here's... They'll get taught about communion there as well. This is what we are to receive every day. We are to receive every day an understanding that in Jesus Christ, in what he has done, in the life that he has lived in our stead, and the body that was broken for us in our place and raised so that we can partake in resurrection life. In that, He does all this to present us before the Father, holy, separated, set apart, blameless, like an offering that has no blemish on it, and without reproach. There's no accusation against us in Christ Jesus. We need a reminder every single day that this is our position in Christ Jesus. And he makes it clear. He says, don't shift from this. You must continue in the faith, stable and steadfast. Continue in the faith. Continue in your trust that you have placed in Jesus Christ alone. Continue in the trust you have placed in Jesus Christ alone, in his performance, in his life lived, his death died, his resurrection achieved. This is where we start. And every day we are to be reminded of this. It's a bit late now for that announcement. Not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. And herein lies for me one of the keys. If we are to pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And we understand with that comes a conversation about that which I've received, freely I've received, freely I shall give, that my bread may be my brother's bread. Right? But there's also this place where he says, let us not shift from the hope. And in this, what is the hope when we believe? The hope is heaven will come to earth finally. We are passing through. This is not the promised land. The hope set before us. We are wandering through here. We shouldn't live in the airport. Right? The airport is a place where you move through. Some people are in the private lounge and some people are in KFC and whatever, just get on the plane. Right? And what is the hope set before us? And this is where we must be reminded. If we understand that our holiness, blamelessness, and irreproachability, we cannot be accused, is in Christ Jesus, we must at the same time be reminded that this is not our hope here. Whatever we receive here, the good things that happen to us here, the bad things that happen to us here, this is not all there is. Our hope is in heaven, and heaven will come to earth finally. And there, that will be the day. And we are to have that ministered to us. Let that make it, every time we partake in communion with the Lord, let that minister to us. What is our hope? Is our hope here? No. Our hope is in heaven, secure. And he will come back, and he will take us home. If we take this and we take it back to Matthew 6, I've taken a long way around to Matthew 6, where Jesus tells us in our conversation, in our prayer with the Lord, where we are exchanging our will for his, and he is saying to us, pray, give us this day our daily bread. If we are to take this seriously and we are to take this conversation with the Lord and we are to say, okay, in my daily bread, there is communion with Jesus who has done everything for me to stand before the Father, holy, blameless, and without reproach. It should minister to us about something. It should minister to us. If this is what has been restored, then the question is, how is this going? Right? If we have in Christ been restored to communion with the Father, right? How is your communion with your neighbor? Because he says here, give us this day our daily bread. How is your relationship with us? We are to receive, he gives. Give must be received. Right? But how is your relationship with us? How is your relationship with your brother within the church? Is your relationship with your brother also holy, blameless, and without reproach? You'll note that we're sort of talking about communion today, but there's no communion on the chairs today. Do you think that would have been a good day to have communion? I was like, yes, Lord, it's obvious. It's obvious when. Obviously, we should do communion. I felt the Lord say to me, no, obviously we shouldn't, because here's the thing. Here's an invitation. If we are to be reminded that our daily bread, our daily spiritual bread is Jesus Christ, and that in him we are holy, blameless, and without reproach, we also need a reminder that our relationships with one another need some restoration. And before we take communion, and I want to ask you to go home and take communion, by all means, break bread, drink juice or wine or whatever it is you do. I have a different way. It's not, I like coffee and rusks, okay? So I don't drink wine. Oh, it's not, but Hebrews is biblical, so. But here's the thing. I don't want us to take communion here this morning. I want us to contemplate. Let us consider, how is our relationship with our brother, the us, in our relationships, your neighbor, your naaste, your husband, your wife. Because if we pray to the Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Well, if we are in communion, if we're having a meal with the Lord, there were other priests there having a meal together. Can you imagine being in the tabernacle with Aaron and all these other guys, and he takes this showbread that was before the Lord as a sign of the covenant that God has made with us, and that points to Jesus Christ, who's the one who makes the new covenant. And they take this bread, but you know what? Something happened yesterday. You know, somebody dropped the tool at the offering and burnt somebody's foot, and it was kind of hot. Somebody forgot to wash the tunic. I don't know. But now they're having this meal with God. But next door, they're like, I don't want to sit next to him. I don't want to sit next to that guy. I don't think that pleases the Lord. Right? And that is the invitation for us today, is to take some time. To take some time and think about this. If we are to pray, and we are, this is Jesus' teaching. It's not a choice we have. It's not a great suggestion here on prayer. It's pray then like this, is what he says. Okay? And give us this day our daily bread. How are we doing with our neighbor? How are we doing with our brother and our sister? And maybe some of us need to, after today, before we go and take communion with your wife and your family, before we do that, we need to go and make a call. Maybe we need to send a message. Maybe we need to make an appointment. Maybe that is something that the Lord is placing on our hearts for us to enjoy a communion meal with him, that he invites us to make right with our brother and our sister. I think it is. I think it is. Let us stand. Father, we thank you that your word is alive, it ministers to us, that as we are confronted by maybe where we are eating our brother's bread, Lord, that you are gracious to us to invite us to share our bread with our brother. But at the same time, you are inviting us to partake of that which is truly life, the living bread from heaven, Jesus Christ. And in that moment, we are invited. In this moment, we are invited. There where relationships with our brothers and our sisters within the body are not according to holiness, blamelessness, and irreproachable. Lord, I pray for grace. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come upon us to live this out, that there would be restoration, that there would be true communion restored between brothers and sisters, and that in that place we can have communion with you. Partake of that which is truly life. And if this is you, and you are experiencing the Holy Spirit just placing on you something that isn't right, maybe there's something that's been buried or something that recently happened, I pray that the Holy Spirit would give you wisdom in how to deal with it. The Holy Spirit would give you insight, would give you strategy, would give you grace. So Father, we thank you that you are the one who draws us to yourself, and as we are drawn to you, we are drawn closer to one another, and that every obstacle that is in the way of fellowship has been removed in Jesus Christ. And we can apply that today. Pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.